Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network.
You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast. New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Here you'll find the resources and training you need to get started, as well as a community of church planting and multi-site experts to help you thrive. My name is Daniel Im, and I'm here with Todd Atkins.
What? That was a little weak.
You're out of practice.
That was my first one of recording this batch of sessions. So,
have you had your Rockstar yet?
I don't drink those anymore. I have not drank energy drinks since January or February.
Oh, wow.
I went to India for like 10 days, and apparently energy drinks aren't as big of a thing there, and they were hard to come by. So I figured this was a really good time to stop. Now, I have not stopped drinking coffee.
Yeah.
And I've had 2 cups so far. Before lunch, but
well, that's just, I mean, honestly, that's just beans, right? It's just filtered beans. So,
and it's full of antioxidants.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Especially when you don't like drench it in cream and sugar.
No. When I turned 40, I started drinking black too.
Yeah.
It's kind of weird. All kinds of little transitions. Speaking of transitions, you have quite a transition, that just happened at Beulah this weekend.
Yeah. Talk about that. Yeah. It's huge. So how long has it been now? I left Lifeway, like Nashville. I left Nashville in August. So, July 2 years ago or 2 years ago. No, last year, July of last year. So I've been here almost, a year and a few months. And if you've been listening, If you've been listening for the last couple hundred episodes, you probably know a little bit. You've been journeying along with us in this transition, and we came back to the church that I had left to go to Lifeway to basically enter into a succession process. Now, it wasn't like incredibly public, so I don't know if we really dug into it at length, and neither was it private. It was kind of in that gray zone area, but the elders hired me. Actually, Keith, the lead pastor, who's still the lead pastor at the church, he invited me into the discernment process to potentially come back, and that's where we really did sense God's leading in that. Came back August of 2019, pre-COVID, and it was essentially a no longer than 2 year process. So we've been journeying through this with our staff and with we have this succession plan and the different columns that we've been passing things off. But this past weekend, actually at the time of the release of this episode, it was just the day before where we announced to our church family that I am the next lead pastor at Beulah Alliance Church in Edmonton, and that it's going to be happening in the summer of 2021. So it was kind of like the worst kept secret, especially for the core, because, I'm preaching the same amount as Keith online, social media wise, with our accounts. Like, I'm up constantly. So we've been very intentional in trying to journey our church through this. But this past weekend was the official announcement. So while the core pretty much knew, congregation crowd wise, it was like, oh, okay. I thought that's what was going to happen. That's the time now. So that's really the place, the kind of the state in this transition that we are at right now.
So do you have any like Baptist expats, from the US that are like, so when do we get to vote on this?
Well, that's the difference. I mean, in our polity, we're basically Carver model of governance, and with our church being a part of the Christian and Missionary Alliance, it's essentially the board of elders that elects and appoints the senior pastor. So there's no vote.
No vote.
Yeah.
All right. At the time of this recording, we still don't know who won the U.S. presidency, so no voting sounds pretty good to us right now.
Oh, dude, it's crazy, isn't it?
All right. Okay. So I do want to talk to you about this because there's, you know, there's a lot that I think we can process from a transition and succession standpoint. You know, we always talk about how, you know, everybody needs a succession plan because you're going to die or move to another position at some point, sometime. You've had the somewhat of the luxury of knowing it is a 2 year or less plan. But, you know, that whole idea of every role is an interim role. Every pastor is really an interim pastor. It's just a matter of time. But like, process with us a little bit around the intentionality of the transition. Because I think there's stuff that we can learn, even though a lot of us don't have a on-ramp to something else, a 2 year on-ramp to something else. We better be thinking about transitioning well when the time comes, because there's a lot that we can intentionally do today. And I just wanted to see if we could learn from what you've done.
Yeah, it's interesting, right? Because in the States, at least, and this is a few years ago, there's about 10,000 boomers reaching the age of retirement every single day. So we just look at this impending crisis of succession, that where senior boomers, senior pastors are going to have to make a decision, right? Are they going to go the Charles Stanley route and just keep on going, right? I don't believe in retirement. I'm just going to keep on going until I can't go anymore. Are people going to take that sort of route, or are they going to take the route of what Keith is doing right now, our current lead pastor, where he's like, man, he could go, like, the guy is one of the best and gifted communicators and pastors in Canada. Most people just don't know who he is because he hasn't written a book and he's in Canada, right? It's just such a different, you know, remember we've talked about the tall poppy syndrome in Australia?
Yes.
What's interesting about Canada is a mix between the American celebrity culture and the European tall poppy, like the Commonwealth tall poppy. So it's so fascinating how much of a mix it really is, us being neighbors with you guys. So when I think about just all the different postures with that an individual, yeah, with you guys, with y'all. So all the different postures that senior leaders can take, you can take an approach like Keith where, man, the guy can go another 5-10 years in senior leadership because he is so smart, so gifted. There's no signs of slowing down that he has, but yet he has intentionally said, I want to leave when I am at my best, and I want to help Beulah transition well as we approach our 100th year. I mean, the guy's been here 30 years. He has 5 generations, been a part of the church for 5 generations. Like, he loves the church and he loves Edmonton through and through. And more than anyone else in the congregation, he wants this church to flourish and continue to reach the lost in the way that it has and continue to multiply the way that it has. So he is the biggest advocate for this going well and wanting to process well. So you have that sort of posture that you can take with succession, or you can, you know, take the other posture where it's literally, well, I'm not gonna run out until I can't run out, and I'm not necessarily gonna do this overlapping. I'm just gonna find my next serve and then hand my keys in and do a little bit of an overlap and leave, right? And in a sense, when you think about transition, especially with senior pastor, there are these different ways that you can do it. I would say, honestly, the way that Keith has approached this is healthiest for the church because there's an intentional overlap, but it's right. Probably the hardest for him. It's probably the hardest for the outgoing pastor because there's very much of this tangible, he must increase, I must decrease. And this baby that you've been leading, you've been investing your everything into, you are slowly letting go and you're still here, right? And by no means is he a lame duck, no means at all. I mean, he is mentoring me through the process. And I'm like, I honestly said to the elders, I was like, during the whole thing, I was like, guys, if you had contacted me a couple of years later and Keith had already been gone and you had an intentional interim and then you are looking for the next lead pastor, I don't even think I would entertain this. I don't even think I would even want to be a part of this. But because of this intentional overlap where I can learn from Keith and just have this intentional time with him where he's mentoring me, I mean, that is probably, other than the call from God that I so deeply felt and sensed, both Christina and I in coming, that intentional overlap is what really was the icing on the cake. And I was like, yeah, no, this is awesome.
Well, I mean, you know, I was able to walk with you through that process mm-hmm. and as well. And, you know, it was obvious then, but it's even more so now, just the hand of God in it and the intentionality that you guys have approached it with, I think is phenomenal. And I still don't know Keith. Like, I need to get to know Keith.
Yeah.
So I'll ask that later and probably offline because I'm very interested in Keith. Mm-hmm. how important is his posture? Because you just said, if it wasn't this way, I wouldn't have done it. I wouldn't have entertained it. Is that just because you know Beulah so well, or?
Yeah.
And that was necessary for Beulah, or do you think in general that's probably a good idea?
Yeah. I'll answer it in two ways for Beulah and for me. For Beulah, with him being here 30 years, we're entering our 100th year. That's when the baton is going to be passed. And him having been a part of the church for five generations, like his grandparents and his parents and him and his children, now his grandchildren are a part of Beulah. I mean, talk about who holds institutional knowledge and history. And we have people a part of our church who have been here for 65 plus years, and he's been there for 30 yet. Right? Like 30 as lead pastor, I think for the health of Beulah. And Beulah does have a history of long-term pastorates. For Beulah, for them to see the full-on endorsement of Keith mentoring me and him handing the baton to me and his trust and his credibility and his expertise being transferred over to me, for the church to see that happen, right? And I love the baton passing, and this is, it's used so often, but I love that analogy when you just think about it, right? Because there's an intentional time where both are running, right? The baton passer and the baton receiver, they're both running as hard as they can. All right. And then there's a moment in time where the baton, you know, one speeds up, one slows down. They're both running at the same time and one speeds up and the other slows down. And I think that's so healthy for the church. So that's on the church side. For anyone coming in and coming after a legacy pastor or a founding pastor, the research has really shown that intentional overlaps have worked the best, right? So that's the one side of it. But from an individual side, for me, I'm like, man, like to have the opportunity to intentionally sit under someone who's led so well and so faithfully and has grown the church from 800 when he took it over to 3,500 regular attendance, you know, 5,000 plus, 6,000 plus on special occasions. I mean, and this is in Canada where mega churches, there are very few mega churches. Right. I don't even know if there's, and I don't, I'm not Warren Bird here, so I don't have all the numbers, but just off the top of my head, I don't even know if there's 10 that are over 2,000 people. Right. Definitely not 10 that are over 3,000 people. Right. So it's just to learn under a guy like this has just been, I mean, I recognize how different we are, but just to be able to have an opportunity to learn under him has just been such, I was looking forward to that.
Good man. Well, I don't know. Maybe we'll talk a little bit more about this in the coming weeks, just because there's so many different elements that come into play here. And, you know, for a lot of us, either I know that it's a lot of church planters mm-hmm, that mm-hmm. listen to this podcast. And one of the things that you can begin to understand now is, yes, you planted your church and it's your baby, but you, unless Jesus comes back,
That's right.
You are not going to be the only pastor of your church. And you have to set up what that transition will look like. You need to be thinking about it now and working your way out of a job, even if that's 20 years from now.
Yeah.
It's something that you've got to be thinking about now, so that you can do that well.
Yeah.
And also understanding that, you know, the pace of change and the speed of change and the speed of transition, all of it, is so important to be paying attention to now. And you can adapt much more readily when you've got a lot of this stuff thought through. That way you're not, you know, wrestling, tossing and turning over what decision should I make, because you can make it based on the values that you currently have, and also how is this going to affect, you know, our church in the future when I'm no longer here.
For sure. For sure. Well, thanks again for listening into today's episode. If there's an area where you want us to zoom in on and double click, just send a question in at newchurches.com. If you're on your computer, hit the sidebar on the right that says send a voicemail. Or if you're on your mobile device, just go to speakpipe.com/newchurches and send that in. We'll catch you next time.